Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, one of our biggest shows we've had yet. We have an amazing, interesting debate between Hassan Piker and Ann Coulter. But first, we begin with one of our favorite guests, Anthony Scaramucci. We're talking about his new book, new documentary about him, a lot going on in his life. Take a listen. Welcome to a special World Series edition of Fox 11's political show, The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. We begin with the mooch.
How's that for a message?
Anthony Scaramucci.
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 The mooch.
The mooch.
The mooch.
The mooch.
Anthony Scaramucci is here. His new book is a hit. And there's a movie coming, too. Also, an unlikely pair. Ann Coulter and Hassan Piker tackle immigration, bombs, and hopefully not each other. The Issue Is starts right now. Welcome to The Issue Is, and welcome back to one of our favorite guests, Anthony Scaramucci.
Alex, such a real pleasure to be here. I love your opening. It was great.
Thank you. He has a new book out. It is called Trump, The Blue Collar President. It's currently a top 10 book on Amazon.com's list of political books. Let's start, though, with the developing story that's really been making headlines all week, which is these bombs that have been sent to some of the most prominent Democratic politicians and liberal activists in the country. A suspect taken into custody this morning. Those are some of the folks who have been targeted this week. Some of the questions coming out of this, these are all folks that President Trump rhetorically targets all the time. Do you think he in some way is responsible for what's happening
here?
Well,
no, listen, this is a mental health issue, so I don't think he's personally responsible. But I will say this, if we dial back the rhetoric in the society on both sides, that would include Maxine Waters, President Trump, and everybody involved, I think it's better for the society. I just think that the president's doing an amazing job. And I know he's getting hit hard in the media. The Harvard study says that he's 92% of the people are attacking him. But if he just dials it back a little bit, Alex, I think he's going to be, you know, in the mid-50s. I just want to point this out. 3 weeks during the Kavanaugh situation, the president was really off the bird, so to speak, in terms of the media. And his poll numbers started to rise. So my recommendation to him in the White House is dial it back a little bit. Your policies are great. And things will go well for you if you just dial it back a little bit.
So you think some of his rhetoric is unhelpful?
I do. And I've said that. I said that to him. I've said that to Sarah Sanders. I've said that to Bill Shein. You have to remember that sycophancy is selfishness and self-preservation. Loyalty and the word honesty are connected to each other. And so for me, I really want the president to do well. I want his team to do well. And I think it's important that we talk to him and his team honestly about what they could do better.
There's this documentary coming out about you that you didn't produce.
Brutal.
But
brutal.
They in it, you talk about him and talk about this concept of sort of his New York values and his New York sensibility. Let's take a look at that.
Donald Trump is a New Yorker. So what does he have embedded in his New York DNA? Something that I fully appreciate. He's brash. He's outspoken. Other New Yorkers get New Yorkers, right? So when he's saying cuckoo things that are cuckoo to people that are unorthodox in the political system, as a New Yorker, I'm laughing.
So that's his documentary.
That's 2 years ago, but boy, it's so true today.
Yeah, and in your book.
And you cut a lot of curse words out of there, which I'm very grateful to you for, because my mom is so mad about this documentary. She's like, who taught you to curse like that? I said, Ma, that would be you and Dad, just so you know. But
apparently anyway, she doesn't talk to you very often.
Oh, my God.
So let's talk for a moment, though, about your book, because it's called Trump, the Blue Collar President. And in it, you talk about his appeal to people in the middle of the country. A lot of folks here in Southern California specifically don't understand that. And some people have said that on the coast people live in a bubble. But try to explain for people why people in the middle of the country relate to him so much.
So what I would say to my friends on the coast is that there's probably been 30 years of a vacuum of advocacy for blue-collar people. And so the left wing is focused on the poor and the environmental issues and social issues, and the right wing, if you want to be critical of them, focus on the wealthy. And so there's been this huge vacuum in the middle. And what the president did, whether you like him or not, is that he started to talk to those people. He went to Michigan. He went to Pennsylvania. He went to Wisconsin. And so the most remarkable thing about what he did was he hijacked the Republican Party against the wishes of the establishment. And then, Alex, he stole the base of the Democratic Party, and he moved it over to the Republicans. And so I try to explain that in the book from my vantage point. I grew up with a dad who was an hourly worker. I watched my mother take his lunch pail and put it in the refrigerator every night, and he got up at 4:10 in the morning and went to work. He ran a heavy crane and a payloader, and he worked 42 years at the same company. And we grew up in the middle class. I would never dishonor my dad by telling you we grew up poor, but those very same people today are poor. We went from the aspirational working class society to the desperational one in about 35 years. And so what I would tell my friends on the coast is, please, if you're a Democrat or a Republican, switch the product line and start focusing on middle and lower middle class people, and you're going to do a lot better. And so whether you like the president or not, he saw that, he gravitated to it, and I write about it in my book as to why he was capable of doing it.
Well, critics say, though, that he's lying to a lot of those people. You've referred to him as an intentional liar. President Trump's lies damaging to democracy?
I'm taking coaching from your next guest, Ann Coulter, on like what to say about the president. I'm getting a lot of trouble for that because he's a pufferist. He likes to exaggerate stories. He reminds me of my grandfather, where let the facts get in the way of a really good story. But, you know, he has a tendency to stretch things. And the point that I was trying to make, and the left and the media is attacking me for this, is that I'm saying, hey, he's lighting you guys up by saying these things in an exaggerated or a puffery sort of a way to get you guys to be like hall monitors, not you specifically, but I'm just talking about left-leaning media people, get you to be like hall monitors to check him and fact-check him. Because what it does is the base gets galvanized by that. You know, if you're getting your lunch money stolen in the cafeteria, you can't call the hall monitor. You got to get together with your friends and take the person on that way. That's the point I was trying to make.
Well, last time you were here, we talked about the issue of immigration and family separation, and you expressed some discomfort with the president's position on that.
I broke with him from that. And so did Melania, and so did Ivanka. And people that really like the president / love the president would tell the president the truth. That is a disastrous policy for you.
Well, now we have this migrant caravan, which is coming towards the United States maybe in a month or so. What should be the U.S. response to this? And is this as big a deal as the president seems to say, calling it a national emergency?
Well, it's a big deal to him because he's trying to galvanize his voters. He's trying to get his voter participation up into the midterms. Presidents have a hard time doing that. President Obama, by his own words, was shellacked in the 2010 midterm elections. And so President Trump is trying to come up with items or totems to use to get his base out to vote. Here's the only thing I would say, and he's a compassionate person, so am I, and I know you are. If there are women and children in that caravan, my guess is that they're running from something. They're fearful of something. And so as Americans, and we both believe in the concept of American values and the generosity of America, let's look at it with some level of humanism.
Okay. That's different than some of the language being used about it. Okay. We're going to do something called the name game, which is going to, that's okay. A little say my name. I know Beyonce is one of your favorites.
All right.
So we're going to say
I've done interpretive dance before, so I like Beyonce, actually. Okay.
And if you can give me one word or a very short phrase of what comes to mind when we say them, okay?
All right, go ahead.
We start with the president, President Donald Trump.
Scary smart.
Vice President Mike Pence.
Super loyal.
The chief of staff, John Kelly.
Not my kind of guy.
Steve Bannon.
Adolf Bannon.
Wow. Former President Barack Obama.
Nice guy, missing what's going on in the society right now.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Should have worked harder in the last election.
Omarosa.
Omarosa, I didn't cry, just so you know.
Finally, Michael Avenatti.
He's having a rough 2 weeks. But I wouldn't underestimate him. He's a fierce competitor.
Yeah, and one of your friends that you hung out with.
I like Michael. Look, let me tell you something. You got the World Series in town. You know, David Ortiz was friends with Derek Jeter.
Right.
Okay, they used to go at it like animals on the field, but they liked each other, okay? I respect Michael Avenatti's persistence and his determination, and I know the Republicans go crazy on me because I like the guy. Big deal. You know what we should do? Try to get along a little bit better.
All right, we want to get to know you a little better with what we call personal issues. So we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock and get some information about you. All right, ready?
Okay,
so we begin with your favorite band.
U2, but also Billy Joel.
Favorite movie?
Braveheart, but then also Goodfellas.
Favorite Star Wars character?
That's got to be Boba Fett.
Favorite athlete?
Favorite athlete? Wow, that's a really good one. I'm going to say Tom Seaver because I'm still a kid at heart.
Favorite alcoholic drink?
Tito's vodka, and then if I'm in a good mood, Cristal champagne.
All-time favorite president?
All-time favorite president, there's no question, George Washington. He inspired us, and he left the presidency. He could have been a monarch, and he took what General Cincinnatus said, the great Roman general. He said, I want to return to my farm, and I respect him enormously.
You're a fighter.
You got
and
some
so
California
we got a little,
little
Christina Aguilera for us, and we hope the Dodgers are also fighters.
Okay, I'm
so
going tomorrow night.
We're giving you a
The Red Sox are a machine, okay, so you got to disrupt them a little bit, okay? And I am actually a Met fan, and I'm a long-suffering Met fan, but I got my son with me. I'll be at the game tomorrow night, and look at me, look.
There we go. Taking a bite out of the World Series. Anthony Scaramucci up next.
The icing is quite good. I hope that bite wasn't what the Red Sox are going to do to you guys. Okay. I hope that's not going to happen.
Up next, a debate over immigration and more. Two fighters are joining us. Ann Coulter, Hassan Piker. They're going to be with us when we come back. We're looking forward to that. Stay with us. More of The Issue Is. It's time to think hard about how to vote. People already voting by mail in California. Election Day is November 6th. Welcome to a panel, and what a great panel we have this week. Ann Coulter is the author of 13 best-selling New York Times book. Her latest is called Resistance is Futile, How the Trump-Hating Left Lost Its Collective Mind. Hassan Piker, one of the most influential progressive voices online. He's the youngest of the Webby Award-winning Young Turks. His videos have been seen and shared by millions in social media. Both are some of the most articulate spokespeople for their sides. We're excited to have both of you on The Issue Is. Welcome. Immigration, one of the most important issues to both of you. We now have this migrant caravan, which is moving from Latin America through Mexico, expected to come to the U.S. maybe in a month or two. What should be the U.S. policy towards it?
We should invent a time machine, go back, and have Trump fulfill his promise to build a wall. This is why his voters wanted a wall, so we don't have to go through this every few months. And if Democrats were smart, the theme of my book, Resistance is Futile, they're doing all the wrong things. The way you'd go after Trump is by saying you haven't fulfilled your promises. What have you done? You've cut taxes. You're going back to the old Republican playbook. I hope he will do it. Maybe if Democrats take the House, which it looks like they will, if they take the House, maybe it'll make him mad and he'll finally fulfill his number one campaign promise. But to keep going through this every 2 months for the rest of our lives, and he's not going to be president forever, this is why we need a wall. Until then, I mean, sending troops to the border, which he says he's going to do, it sounds tough, but it isn't doing anything. The military, they're all just, you know, handing out the, here's how you sign up for welfare. They're not stopping them there. That's why we want a wall.
So, Hassan, is building a wall the solution?
No, absolutely not. Also, what difference does it make whether we build a wall or not? These are legal asylum seekers coming in the caravan. It's not like these people are coming to cross the border or jump over the Mexican border. I feel like if they were trying to sneak into the country, they'd probably be doing a better job and not come in such high numbers coming in after escaping violence in their countries. And then on top of that, this notion that Anne is snuck in, they have welfare checks waiting for them at the border is also preposterous. It's proven over and over again that immigrants contribute far more than they take to the U.S. economy. And I think there was 1,436 economists from all different backgrounds that wrote an open letter to Donald Trump advising him that immigration is a net benefit. It's virtually every single economist agrees on this.
And?
Well, none of these are asylum cases, or they'd stop in the first country they get to. The idea of asylum is something like there's a Holocaust, there's a potato famine. No, this is how these people always live, which is why all of different countries want to come to, the biggest welfare state in the world. That is the United States, and get welfare checks. And yeah, okay, you got economists to sign a letter. Dumping poor people on America is not making us better. They are far more likely to be receiving welfare. And that's just your average illegal immigrant and immigrant are way higher to be accepting government assistance than American.
How would they accept
asylum,
government assistance?
Applicants don't have to wait at all. They instantly get given food, housing, everything, but they aren't asylum cases. These aren't people fleeing one corrupt, you know, I'm trying to kill you. Otherwise, they'd get to Mexico and say, whew, home free, I'm in Mexico. No, they want to come to the biggest welfare state in the world.
I mean, the American welfare state might be big in totality as far as our population goes, but it's definitely not as encompassing as plenty of other European nations. But that's besides the point. You mentioned welfare. Can you describe to me specifically how undocumented citizens take advantage of our robust welfare state?
They can't walk to Sweden. They can walk to this country.
No, but you're not answering my question.
They can also walk to Mexico, and they're not stopping there.
Okay, but you're not answering my question.
Well, you say asylees are entitled to everything citizens are entitled
to. Oh, so now they're asylum seekers, because previously you were using the perspective that they aren't asylum seekers.
No, I am saying they do not qualify. They should not qualify, but they are classified as asylees, as you say, and that's the whole panoply. In fact, they get more than citizens. They have housing built for them.
Undocumented citizens as a whole, because you have such strong opinions on this, and look, you've been doing this for longer than I've been alive, so I would love to hear your perspective on exactly how undocumented citizens take advantage of our supposedly robust welfare state.
We know they're massively collecting food stamps, health care. It is 100%
true. Absolutely not true. The
schooling,
only thing you can say is maybe they're
rooms.
Using health care. Yeah.
Okay,
the health care, as far as emergency rooms, approximately is 0.09%
English
of the entire health care budget.
Schools, English as a second language classes, all these schools across America. Oh, sorry, there's going to be no Christmas pageant this year. We had 16 English as a second language classes.
Wait, are you making the assumption that Latin American countries are somehow not Christian and therefore don't want Christmas?
What does this have to do with Christmas? Yeah. You're not following the argument.
We're going to have to leave it there, but we will have more debate, and we're going to play this song, Why Can't We Be Friends? Because that's probably a good theme as well. A reminder that our show is available as a podcast. Just search for The Issue Is wherever you search for podcasts. And coming up next, the two of them are going to discuss President Trump and whether he bears some responsibility for this week's bombs that were sent to Democrats. Stay with us for that. Welcome back to The Issue Is. Welcome back to our panel. Ann Coulter, Hassan Piker are both with us. One man now under arrest for these bomb threats that have been targeting liberal activists. Apparently, this Florida resident, Cesar Sayoc, faces 5 counts, up to 58 years in prison. Apparently a Trump supporter who did all this. Hassan, do you think the president bears any responsibility for this man's actions?
Absolutely. And it's not just the president who has decried violence and talked specifically about specific acts of violence against counter-protesters, telling them that he will pay for their legal fees, talking about how if he shot someone on Fifth Avenue, that his supporters would still love him, talking about how the Second Amendment people will take care of it, and also specifically targeting not only CNN, but also Maxine Waters, claiming that Maxine Waters better watch out. These sort of statements obviously are impactful, especially when considering the current political climate in this country. So it's not just Donald Trump that's responsible, however, it's also the media apparatus that is not holding Donald Trump accountable.
Ann?
No, I mean, all the things Trump says, when an audience laughs, it's a joke. None of this is inciting language, talking about shooting somebody on Fifth Avenue. Come on, it's a joke. It historically, political violence has come from the left, which is why a lot of people thought it.
Which is why you have the weekends, for example, instead of
anyway,
like
I'm still
a 7-day work week. But
so it's been, you know, back to the Weathermen, Sacco and Vanzetti, the anti-war protests. You had, the attack on Steve Scalise. You have all the anti-globalists. You know, the Seattle protests. It's just historically the Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. This has historically been something that's come from the left.
So what does that have to do with what's going on right now, though, with this specific instance of violence?
This, as I was saying, and there have also been a lot of hate hoaxes. So what was surprising here is, yeah, OK, you got yourselves a Trump supporter. At least half Filipino. So it looks like, you know, a lot Democrats thought all these immigrants coming in where political violence is way more prevalent than it is in this country. They thought, oh, they'll always be on our side, like Sacco and Vanzetti. But some of them are going to be Trump supporters. I think we might finally get liberals to oppose the caravan by saying, oh, they don't care about MS-13. They don't care about child molesters, still talking. But tell them there's some Trump supporters in that caravan and they'll be down on the border with a Minuteman.
Okay.
All right.
So you're
real quick.
Okay, really quickly, None of what you said has anything to do with this specific instance whatsoever. And it is undeniable that Donald Trump, in some instances jokingly, in some instances very real, has incited violence. You yourself have specifically incited violence by saying, we need more violence from the Trump people. Were you joking when you said that?
I never said that.
That was a tweet. It's literally a tweet that we can look up.
Violence from the Trump people? Well, I'm glad you're studying me. I'm studying them more closely.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Hopefully we can bring everybody together, though, with the Dodgers. We've got a little bit of Dodgers donuts. Try to bring this group together as we say, I love L.A. A final word about the Dodgers
when we come back. Don't give it to the players. We want them in their top four.
It's been a blast hanging out at Dodger Stadium. There I am throwing the ball around with Mayor Eric Garcetti. So we wish our boys in blue well. And we thank you so much for watching The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. Have a good night, a great weekend. We'll see you back next week. Go Dodgers! Well, that was something. Usually after debate, the guests sort of hug it out. That did not happen this week. But it was interesting to hear both sides articulated very well, and hope you feel more educated and informed, and hope that you vote on November 6th. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening to The Issue Is podcast. Please subscribe. Please leave us a review. Please let other people know about this. Please watch us on TV on Friday nights at 10:30 on Fox 11. And follow me in social media at Alex Michelson. All right. Got the plugs out of the way. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.